Oh yeah! What's going on, guys? It's Stunt Granny Audio 133. After taking a week off, we're back with another edition. And joining me this week is Kevin. Hey, what's up, man?
Wow, a whole lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
There could be Yumi time. And you know what? I didn't mention. But Sean finally got me a picture of that Nikki chick he's been talking about.
Oh, yeah.
She would easily, to me, be the best-looking woman I've dated if that ends up happening.
Well, you know how this goes. This is useless without pics. So let's go.
Yeah, well, I've got to figure out how to forward it from the text message he sent me.
Just forward the text message to me.
Oh, okay.
Unless there's no cock pics in it. You know, keep that one, but...
Oh, and I've got to take down all my,
Or save it to your phone. Save the picture to your phone and then go back and do it that way.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Yeah. So, well, anyways, while Kevin does that, I'm going to put even more pressure on him. Kevin actually went to the SmackDown taping in Columbus yesterday. And if you follow us on Twitter, he gave, the results out, and then today posted the results again. So we're just going to go over, I don't know, we're going to do this weird, I'm actually going to interview somebody. So this is going to be kind of weird.
How do you forward?
I don't know. I don't have my phone in front of me.
Yeah, no, like, I can't write.
I think you have to, go to the, there's a menu option once you're in the, text itself.
A menu option, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell is that?
So anyways, while Kevin's trying to figure out a text message, bad timing on my part, apparently.
yeah, no, horrendous timing.
Yeah. As Kevin fiddles with modern technology.
No, that's the one thing I can't figure out on these damn things for some reason or another.
Dude, it took me forever to figure out how to save a fucking picture.
I had no idea. I was fine with saving pictures, but it's just the text message pictures that seem to be a problem for
me. Now, I had no idea. There was one time when I first got my phone, it all of a sudden the window popped up saying, do you want to save this picture, save picture, all this other stuff. I'm like, well, yeah, but then I could never figure it out until one time I got so pissed off at the phone, I just squeezed it really hard, and all of a sudden the menu popped up again. And I'm like, son of a bitch, is that all you have to do is put your finger over the picture? I mean, I'm sure I could have read the instructions, but fuck that.
There we go, let's see.
I love this. On the next edition of Stunt Granny Audio, we're going to teach Kevin how to use the inner tube.
Yeah, well, I deserve that, so what the fuck ever.
What's all this newfangled shit people keep sending me? That's an email, Kevin.
Well, now I've just got to figure out where it saved it to.
God damn. Mm-hmm.
Well, it gave me the picture number that it saved it as, and I can't find the picture number.
You have to go to, like, My Pictures or whatever.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah. It's just like a computer, except smaller.
You're a jackass.
And don't be afraid if it starts moving on its own and makes noises. It's just ringing, and it probably has a vibrate feature as well. There's nothing actually wrong with your with your phone. Oh, by the way, Kevin is the guy that gets up to manually change the TV by clicking the first row to get to the 10s and then the second row to get to the 20s. So okay, that's not true. That's Eric. So Eric's the guy that can afford a plane ticket but can't afford his fucking flat-screen TV.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get some shit underway. Since I finally got that picture saved and I'm ready to send it to you, can we fucking get on?
Yeah. So why don't you start talking about going to SmackDown while I run into the other room and grab my phone so I can see this chick. So just start talking. I'll be right back.
This is outstanding. Okay, so I think I told a ridiculous story in my tweets there. But I was supposed to go with my girlfriend, broke up with her, ended up getting my buddy enlisted. He ends up bailing on me because he decided to switch jobs last week. Well, our other buddy who's come up for both the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania the last 2 years that we haven't gone, he actually found it way too important to go to his dart league on Tuesday night, so he couldn't accompany me either. Well, a guy that I happen to know the Tens Gardens very well, he was supposed to come with me when I talked to him on Monday, but then he ended up backing out when I when I sent him his text message yesterday. So I got really blown off, and it was quite funny. So anywho, I get down there, and last week it was there are no more than I'd say 8,000 to 10,000 people there.
Wow.
For the event, honestly.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really strange. Like, there was a lot of area tarped off. The whole almost back. I think they've started closing off more area towards the backstage area.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and definitely. Like, I only saw honestly, like probably like a dozen or so rows up on the second tier. But I mean, they did do a good job of packing everyone in a pretty contained area.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it look like it was more crowded than, you know, if they hadn't tarped off those areas.
Okay. Well, but it's still weird. How many people does the arena sit?
16,000.
Oh, wow. So that's 8,000 to 6,000 less than capacity.
Yeah, no.
That's bad.
It was significantly under because, and that was the other thing when I mentioned the parking. I normally park at this one lot, and it's crowded during the games. And I walked past, there are a number of bars down in that area, and all of the bars were, all except for a couple of bars, and those ones are kind of more known for serving food.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the only two that were open.
Oh.
Like, I mean, maybe because it is a family event, but I mean, hockey games are a family event, and all those places are jammed, and that parking lot that I park in is a bitch to get out of, but it's the cheapest one, so.
Hmm.
But I had no problems. Like, no one had even parked around me. Like, I was, like, the last person to pull into that lot. So, like, I walked there, no problem. Like, I was, you know, I was expecting something of a crowd to get in there, but almost everybody was there already. Because it said a start time of 6:45, and I'm like, oh, it'll be some type of dark match. And I'm like, oh, screw it. I'll get there when they start taping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, well, they were already taping NXT when I got there. Although, now that I think about it, I probably just missed, like, the very opening segment.
When they introduced everybody.
When they introduced everybody and when they... Because I saw... They did this... Were we not going to get into that too much? The spoiler part of it?
The spoilers don't really matter. So, I mean, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, no, but I got there and just like almost all... Because there's only six guys on there, I think.
Honestly... I don't watch any. I don't give a fuck.
No. I don't either. But I think there's only six or eight guys there, and they had this verbal battle between. They had a, you know, like they had a winner for each one-on-one match.
Okay.
And I think there's only three winners. So, and I think I heard all three of those battles. So now that I think about it even more, I didn't miss that much of NXT.
Gotcha.
I guess I was just kind of rethinking myself there. Enough!
Okay, so I guess the one question I've got is, how does the live crowd treat NXT? Because on TV, you know, they use the audio sweetener and they do what they can to punch it up to make it sound important, even though we all know it's not. I mean, how is it hearing that raw reaction? Is it comparable to TV, or is it, you know, like I said, a lot of auto sweetening?
Well, I think this one was a good baseline for what I'll go with. My one tweet that had nothing to do with the spoilers, which was Booker greater than Matthews, greater than Chris Masters. And I rated Chris Masters as a golf clap.
Oh.
I would say the NXT stuff, like the verbal battle, just because they were made to cheer, people did cheer a decent chunk.
Mm-hmm.
But it was probably more in the Matthews area. You know, it was definitely above Chris Masters.
Yeah.
But, and I guess that was another funky thing that I wanted to mention, is that the crowd seemed far more about cheering for someone
mm-hmm.
than cheering against people.
Oh.
Like, some people, the pops were much larger in comparison to the negative stuff. Because that was the other thing, is I said that Cole got Matthews-level heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that I looked back on it afterwards and I thought about it a little bit more, like, that was about as good as it got. And a couple of people broke out a Cole Sucks chant that okay. I don't think I mentioned at all.
Yeah. Well, a Cole Sucks chant is, you know, preferable right now. I mean, that's what they're going for, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For a change, I mean...
They're doing the right thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, like I said, it was just in comparison. It didn't seem as loud, but
yeah.
When you just scale off the heel heat all by itself, that was as bad as it got.
Hmm. Wow. Well,
They booed Cole pretty hard when Swagger came out, I think.
Uh-huh.
But that I think that might be the only instance I could say that the crowd really got to booing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
A really loud boo that compared to the pops for, say, Edge or, oh my God, the 619. They didn't get it during the match, so
yeah.
Everyone just went crazy when he did that in the dark match
right.
main event.
Since we're kind of on this theme now, all right, you know, you always see, like, spoiler reports, whatever. Who, in your estimation, were the top three, you know, heat seekers or heat getters in a good way, the positive pop, I guess?
Definitely Cole was at the top. I'd say, let me, I'm trying to think of who else. And you know what? Lucky Cannon may have got the most boos simply because he insulted Ohio State. And he was the only person all night to do so. So,
I think that pretty much explains everything about Lucky Cannon right there. He can't draw it on his own, so he's got to play the hometown thing.
Yeah. And, Del Rio definitely got some, good boos. And CM Punk.
Okay.
Yeah, that would definitely be the top three.
All right. What about face heat? I mean, I guess we're gonna. All right, wait. We're gonna run into the same territory. Like, was there a pop or anything that surprised you? I guess that would be the better way to go about this.
A pop? No.
Yeah, or like if Titus O'Neil came out and had a bigger pop than Edge. You know, something like that. Was there anything like that that stood out?
No.
Oh.
No, nothing like that stood out. Because nothing was, kind of over the top.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was wondering, because, you know, there's always that surprise sometimes. Like, when we went all those years ago, and the fucking Acolytes got a huge, like, face pop all of a sudden.
Oh.
When they were, you know, they were heels. So...
Yeah, no, the only thing that I guess would be surprising in that department, and this kind of was what was weird to me, too, another, like, people noticing moment, is that there were a lot of adult males with John Cena stuff on, including the dude that stunk that was sitting right beside me. Well, actually, no, he had a Dwayne Wade jersey on. But he did buy, and people, go into, if you don't like to read spoilers, after the spoilers are done with, go to my spoilers and look at the link that I put in there for the John Cena thing that this guy bought. Like, please just go to it. It's for someone who, and this gentleman, I would guess, was somewhere between, he was at least 16, but he could have been like, I don't know, maybe 24 or something like that. Like, it was really strange. He was definitely had some relation. He was a black gentleman. He had some relation with an Indian woman.
No.
And she was also very large and old. And she had a wedding ring on, and he didn't. So I don't think they were married. But, like, he almost seemed like, it was like, how are you his kid? Like, is this an adoption? Is this some weird adoption where an Indian woman adopted a black kid? Like, I suppose it's possible. But, like, it was confusing.
Okay. And that was a kid that stunk?
Yeah, that was a kid that stunk.
All right, well.
But he had John Cena stuff on. There were a couple other, like, guys our age, or maybe a little bit older, with John Cena gear on, and coming back to the point after off-roading there. A lot of guys had John Cena stuff on, which I thought was really strange, but then when John Cena came on the screen, he got a very mixed reaction. Like, I expected a very pro-Cena reaction, because I noticed that stuff right when I got in there.
Yeah.
Because the blinky medallion got bought within the first 15 minutes that I sat,
What a dumb thing to say. I mean, it's not your fault, but just really, the blinking medallion got bought. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, I went and saw that, and I was like, did they have, like, leftover glow stuff from the DX sticks or something?
I think they were selling those, too.
Were they still selling those? Wow, they're flogging that dead horse for a while.
Well, and that was the other thing that I think was a little bit strange to me. I don't remember seeing vendors before, really.
What, selling merch in the crowd?
Selling merch in the crowd. Like, I know that I've seen it some, but it seemed more frequent yesterday than it ever has to me. And I've been to, this isn't my first, they've taped SmackDown here more than they've done Raw here. Like, they seem to like it for a SmackDown city for whatever reason. I know I've seen one or two Raws here, but I think this is the third or this is the third SmackDown I've gone to, and I skipped another one. So I know they've had four tapings since I've been here, at least.
Yeah, see, they seem to do the same thing here in Greenville. We get SmackDown a lot, but we don't get Raw hardly ever. There had to have been a different one. I'm trying to think when the last Raw was here, and I wanted to say that it can't be the Royal Rumble one when you were down here. Because, God, that would hope to be more than 10 years, but...
Yeah, no, it seems like there should have been somewhere in between there, but...
Well, what else... Did anything else stand out? I guess that's a better question.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I already said that Cena still got a mixed reaction, even though he wasn't there, which was kind of strange. He probably got the loudest reaction for someone not there.
That's kind of par of the course now for him, though. We talked about that before, how, you know... You see all the Cena stuff, and then people start booing him, and it's like,
Well, yeah.
The people wearing John Cena gear that are booing him, it's just like, what? There's still that section of fans. That's just the cool thing to do. So.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, okay. Oh, that was the other thing that I meant to mention, too. when I was talking about walking to the arena.
Mm-hmm.
To go back to Shad Gaspar getting arrested when the Strike Force was here.
Yeah.
You know what? One of the first things that my ex-wife told me was not to jaywalk in the city because they really cracked down on it.
Wow.
So when I saw that he got arrested for jaywalking, I started laughing. Like, for whatever reason, jaywalking is a thing around here.
Isn't Columbus, like, the highest per capita murder, like, in the state?
I don't know, maybe.
I could have swore they were, like, they had the highest murder rate of all the cities in Ohio. And those dumb motherfuckers are worried about jaywalking.
It's a downtown thing, and that's where he was. Like, if you go from the downtown area up north to the campus area, mm-hmm. That's the area that you've got to pay attention. Like, elsewhere in the city, you're probably fine. But there's a lot of bars in that area, and there are a lot of college kids that are drunk in that area. So I think it's just we can make some cheap money with drunk college kids.
Not at all, so...
So I think that's part of it, because that's kind of the area where they'd go down to drink, because that all, you know, the Short North and, you know, all the other little areas of town that are nice, they can nail people pretty easy. So that was entirely not surprising to me. I meant to comment on that at some point since it happened here.
Yeah, now, I thought you were going to say you got a ticket for jaywalking.
No. God, no. Well, and that was the other thing. Like, normally there's a police officer or something directing traffic out for Jackets games. Like, even that one I went to last week, that, you know, it's probably a half-full crowd that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned it in my babbling when you were gone. none of that was there, and I still got out of there, you know. Like I said, like, nobody else ended up parking out around me. Like, I think when Sean, well, we parked in a different lot, so it was a whole different animal. But, I always have a hard time getting back on 315, so I just breezed right out of there. I walked down to my car, turned it on, and I was out.
Damn.
Like, normally, like, even if you get there pretty quickly and catch good traffic, it still takes me, you know, maybe 10 minutes to get out of there or something like that, 10, 15 minutes. So, you know, to just, like, get right out of there, that's the other reason why it's, like, this crowd couldn't have been that big.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I understand that maybe there were more, like, direct, because there were definitely a lot of families around me, or a lot of people together around me, and they definitely weren't taking three different cars kind of people, you know. It was mostly, you know, youngish kids, you know, that had to have been brought there by somebody, so I don't know if it really conserved on that many vehicles. I doubt it.
Now, I mean, you know, I don't care about Ohio State, but are they in class right now? Are they in their quarter?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to come up with reasons why, you know, it wasn't crowded at all. The reason I'm asking is they're going into WrestleMania next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Yeah.
You would think that'd be a sold-out show.
I thought there'd definitely be more people there. I was I'm not sure if I didn't pay attention before, maybe just because, you know, we're doing Stunt Granny, and I wouldn't have paid this much attention to advertising, even we were just doing Torch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I noticed a lot, it seemed like a lot more ads for SmackDown this time around, and I was wondering if ticket sales were low.
Most of the time you'll notice if they have a weak audience by the sales, or if they advertise pricing. Because I know in Greenville, last time they had a house show, it didn't sell very well, but they were advertising as tickets started at $10. $10. That's always been my gauge. I may be totally off, of course, but that always seemed like the proper gauge to tell if a show is going to do well or not. I mean, unless you're TNA around here and you put door hangers of chicks with their giant tits hanging out on born-again Christian doors. That's always a smart thing to do. I don't know. What else stood out from you? I mean, it's been a while since I've been to a live show.
What else stood out for me? Yeah, because, like, almost everything that I honestly jotted down was all, like, crowd-related stuff and mocking the crowd.
All right, well, what are some other good crowd stories?
I liked a championship belt dude with a hot girlfriend. Like, I was like, what? I tried to get a picture of it, but I don't know why, but the belt did not take the picture very well, and he was sitting down on the floor from me.
Wow.
Oh, and, you know, one other note on, I guess, where I was sitting. Like, I was behind the announcers.
Okay.
But I was on the first level there, and I was only in row C, and it was pretty nice, but the guy doing the camera work from inside, close up in the ring, he was almost always down in that corner opposite of the announcers. So he did have a tendency to obscure my view a little bit.
Well, all right, now where were your seats?
Things. 112 row C.
Oh, that ain't bad. All right. It never occurred to me to ask. So.
Yeah. So, like I said, like it was one of those, the rink's a little bit lower. So I was up, you know, definitely high enough that my eye level was above ring level. Not by a whole lot.
Yeah.
So, because I had that and a choice between seats, like seventh row on the floor. And I was worried that they were too far back, and I think they would have been.
Yeah, I've sat, what, in 15? 14? And for me, you know, it's not a big deal. I can pretty much taller than everybody else. But when the ex went with me, she couldn't see from back there. She hated those seats. So, I don't know. I don't think it'd be too bad. It really, I guess it would depend if you got an aisle seat or not.
Yeah, that would have, I don't think it was an aisle seat from what I remember looking at, because I got into the pre-sale, and I didn't want to spend a ridiculous amount of money. Like,
no.
I still just don't give a shit. Like, and that was the other thing, is the floor seats were more expensive, and I thought it'd be a worse view.
Oh, one question. Was the bald dude and his wife, you know, they always wear the neon pink and pink green. Were they there? They're almost always in the front row.
You know what?
Motherfuckers.
I didn't see them.
Hmm.
I honestly, and I was looking, you know, because I was on that, you know, I was on the opposite side of the ring from them, where they, because they normally sit across from the hard camera.
Yeah.
And yeah, the, well, it, and I didn't. It had to have been the second hard camera or something like that, because there was one, like, because where my seats were, they had an area tarped off just above it, but then they had more seats above where that camera position was.
I gotcha.
In that section. So there had to have been another camera down, because I definitely was nowhere near the middle of the ring. You know, positioning-wise.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Right. But yeah, there's that, and the crane camera came by, but they didn't really pan to our side. They were just panning the people seated in front of us on the floor.
All right.
And people above us.
Yeah.
They would have gotten their own stuff, like, pictured if they had done our section. So they can't really do it.
I gotcha.
Just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Look, kids, there's one of our cameras.
Yeah, they try their best to keep the cameraman out of the shots, which you're supposed to do. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, what? Anything else stood out for you from SmackDown? I mean, we got the spoilers. We're not going to get into any spoiler crap. You can actually read the site for a change. So.
No, there's nothing else really. The dude running around in a Rey mask, like a grown adult running around in a Rey mask, was hysterical.
Well, see, I guess, and I'm stupid, I guess, I don't have a problem with that at all. You know, for whatever reason, running around was it like the half mask like Rey wears now?
No, it was one of the lace-ups in the back.
Yeah, the one that Rey Mysterio should be wearing because Cody Rhodes wants to take his mask off. Yeah.
Yes, that one.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. I mean, if they ever come around here again for a TV taping, or Iowa, maybe, or, well, I don't know where Dusty would go in Wisconsin to see one. I guess Milwaukee would be closest.
Yeah, my Wisconsin geography is terrible at best, so I'm not.
Oh, trust
even...
me. After he listens to the show tomorrow, he'll tell us. So, all right. Well, let's get into some Raw talk. And I know we haven't dealt with TNA much, but I mean, what are you supposed to talk about with TNA? I mean, we can talk about Jeff Hardy. Well, what are you supposed to talk about?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's actually, I mean, they've kind of written him off, which is a good thing for the time being, no?
Well, of course it's a good thing, but it should have never come to that anyways.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's like breaking the windows in the house and then replacing them because you got caught. I mean, it should have never happened in the first place. You know better, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
All right, so I guess, really, this is probably going to be the last Raw roundup, if you want to put it that way, for us, unless we do something later. Because basically,
yeah.
Kevin and I, we're going to do the WrestleMania preview shows, and that'll be most of our Raw and SmackDown WWE talk. So maybe we can talk TNA next week, or if Dusty wants to continue the conversation he and I were having, which was actually a level-headed, like, TNA... I was going to say TNA doesn't suck combo, but that was what it was.
Well,
without
yeah,
all the vulgarities and the hostility.
No...
I think that was a good way of putting it. So
outstanding.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Raw. And obviously it kind of goes to the SmackDown part because they brought some of it up. But the one thing two things stood out to me in this show. One was the Randy Orton tour bus. I honestly didn't catch the setup, but was there really somebody there talking about like Stars RVs or something, or did they just catch him backstage? You know, like in a backstage style atmosphere.
Yeah, no, they caught him like walking off the bus.
Okay.
Yeah, no, wow. Or maybe the door was closed already, and he was just walking away from it with the door closed. It was something like that. It's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Okay. No.
Yeah, that was just... And that was one of those things where I started reading Powell's review, and I'm like, yeah, no, honestly, why did I not see that one coming?
That's. I'm glad you admitted that up front, because you're going to take a shellacking off of that.
Uh-huh.
That was the most obvious thing. And for anybody to sit there going, well, why did they introduce that? Well, why the fuck you think they introduced that? They went out of their way last week to show that there was a family there, or his family was there. They go out of their way this week to show, you know, here's my tour bus that I'm blah, 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 blah. My family's in there, blah, 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 blah. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it gets by the best of us.
Yeah,
of us.
Well, I think there's a reason. So, but yeah, okay. So beyond the obvious setup, so as soon as they showed that, I was like, oh, this match is getting interrupted later because CM Punk's going to do something. Ding, ding, right on cue. It gets interrupted. Randy Orton runs out. And then the good part took over. You know, as bad of a setup as it was, I thought, or obvious setup as it was, The attacking Randy Orton thing I thought was pretty good, and him stomping him on the head, I thought that was a nice touch, a really nice touch, because it looked really, really awful.
And I didn't like that?
No, this is the discussion part. I'm not going to thrash you. You kind of took the steam out of the thrashing when you admitted it, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I thought I was saying I didn't like... I loved Punk beating the tar out of him still. And, that kick to the head just looked rough because it was like, you know, it was kind of curb stomp-esque.
Mm-hmm. Very curb stomp-esque, yeah.
That looked pretty nasty. And Randy Orton does a pretty solid twitch. He's a good twitcher. This side of he's a less more relaxed Tommy Dreamer.
That's always one thing, and I know that they exaggerate. At least I hope they do. They exaggerate saying, yeah, you know, McMahon took a kick in the head and this and this and this, and then you like Orton took out all the members of Nexus. And did you notice he didn't mention Husky Harris?
Oh.
He took out McGillicuddy, Atunga,
and Ryan,
but they never mentioned Husky Harris, and I was like, that's not good for him, that's for sure. So, but when getting back to that, the kick in the head part, especially with Punk, these guys are pros. I mean, I know accidents happen, but the one Punk did, I mean, how the hell do you do that? I mean. So anyways, that whole thing to me is really impressive how they do that. I mean, it's just, I'm sure they're not kicking him in the head. Or if he is, they're doing it in such a way, you know, not that he's doing a love tap, and then it's up to Orton to do the rest. Kind of like when you get hit in the back, you know, like it really affects you. You got hit or whatever.
Right.
But that kick just looked fucking vicious. I mean...
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a compliment is what I'm trying to get to, because that was so pro-looking. That was really, really good. I sound like I've got the vocabulary for a one-year-old right now. But...
Yeah, no, that's it. I think that's another one of those things that I kind of mentioned a little bit in one of my tweets there, where Punk was suplexing his opponent on SmackDown there,
mm-hmm.
and he looked at the crowd for just a second and kind of gave him a smirk, and then went through with the suplex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just seems like one of those guys that likes to get those really small details right. And just really selling that right and making it look right is, like, something that he does a lot better than almost anybody, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're dead right. You're dead right on that. That's really lost on some people. As dumb as this is going to sound, another guy that was good at that was Batista. He didn't have to move around much, but you sure as fuck believed that, you know, that he was just there. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with my vocabulary today, but
I could just sometimes with a spine buster, you're like, oh, really? That hurt? But like, I know that he wasn't quite on a Ron Simmons scale of like, oh my lord.
Yeah.
But he was in that neighborhood, I'd say. Like, you're just like, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that really, I mean, you can be a big guy and not make it look like it's that painful.
Right.
And, yeah, he did a good job of, like, following through and making it look rough.
Yeah, but, yeah, and even, like, his mannerisms afterwards, especially that the turn at the end, where he was just, everything was going right. You know, body language, those little kicks to the crowd, he really got it.
Yeah,
that's why it's unfortunate he's wasting his time thinking he's going to do MMA. But I think you're right with Punk. I don't really know of too many other guys who were up there with like that. It's
Yeah, no, he's really, I don't know if he's in a league of his own, but because Jericho does the same type of smarmy shit. The Miz is kind of getting there, but he's still not as good on the wrestling end of things as Punk is. And I don't think Punk's any worse in the mic department.
See.
I
Now,
said, yeah. I could see an argument one way or the other if people wanted to do it, honestly, but yeah, 'cause what was it? There was that one that I just thought Miz bombed on the other week.
well, you see, I think when it comes to bombs, you're allowed to have your bombs. It's when they continue, which
Yeah.
I'm really happy you said that, because one guy that I thought had he batted 750 this week, and this may come as a shock, but John Cena had a really good night on the mic. He All right, this may take a little bit because it kind of pains me, but he that sit-down interview. Now, he could have been a little more serious, all right? I'm not going to let him totally off the hook.
Oh yeah, no. There was something. I'm just like, dude, because like it was later on too. Like it was into the interview a little bit, wasn't it? When he finally let a joke go, like he was all serious for like the first half of it, then had a joke, and then went back to serious. It's like, oh.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He starts off, and I don't know who was it, Josh Matthews or Michael Cole, asking, he's like,
Cool.
"Did you underestimate the Miz?" And instead of going, "Of course I underestimated the Miz is blah blah blah," and then cracking a joke, he goes, "Yes, I definitely underestimated the Miz, and the Miz is for real." Now, he kind of lacked a little bit. It could have had a little more sincerity to it, because he still had kind of like that little like howdy doody sort of face he always has,
Yeah.
but. He didn't immediately follow it with a, "I underestimated the Miz. I also underestimated that sushi joint I went to last night. I should have known it shouldn't have been $1.99 for a sushi, a sushi. You know what? I don't know what's wrong with me today." But no, I mean, he just said, "Yeah, I underestimated him. I'm going to focus on him," and it's what he's supposed to be doing all the time, and.
Oh.
That's the most frustrating part. He could have been a tad more serious, all right? That's why I said it's 750.
Yeah.
Could have been even more serious about it and been like, "You know what? I underestimated him, and that's never happening again. You know,
Oh,
I
yeah.
want that championship. I shouldn't be underestimating anybody, because that's the prize everyone wants." I mean, he talked out the title. He talked out, the Miz, blah, 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 blah. Addressed The Rock as well. So everything just kind of hit with him last night, so I thought that was pretty good. And as much as it pains us for me to compliment Cena on something.
Right. Yeah, no, he did have a pretty solid evening there. I did love his wow, am I really trying to suck up to the crowd and get everybody to cheer moment
Oh,
there.
when he was at the Lemieux wing or something.
Yeah, the Lemieux mosaic wall there.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow, you cannot be trying harder. Like even as much as Lucky Cannon was fishing for booze, Cena was fishing for cheers.
Yeah. Now, I think, though, there's that, but then obviously, I think people were genuinely excited he was there.
yeah.
Because, it.
That crowd seemed more, and maybe that's what made me think of it too. Is that that crowd seemed more pro Cena than most of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Le It
Pittsburgh,
seemed like
so.
there were less.
Don't really have a lot to cheer for in Pittsburgh anyway, so.
Nope. Nope.
Oh,
Depressing time.
but no, but no, it, and I think, though, with the whole Miz Cena thing, The Miz was being treated as an afterthought, all right, and it when I was it was fun, you know, they addressed it on TV and all that stuff, but they needed Cena to go out there and say this because it wasn't selling the WrestleMania match at all.
Yeah. And I think I had mentioned a number of weeks ago, maybe it was the first time Cena responded to Rock or something. I'm like, well, if they cut this off, it'll be okay, and then they can start concentrating on the match. Well,
yeah.
Until that beatdown, honestly, last week, they didn't really concentrate on the match at all. And that was much later in the time frame. You know, and I know it's only like probably an extra 2 weeks or something later, but it just doesn't, you know, quite seem like enough time to me. Especially with The Rock being on this coming Raw.
Part of me wonders if they're doing this to get the angle out of the way. So that at WrestleMania, you're not sitting around anticipating a John Cena-Rock interaction. So that it's not distracting from the entire show,
right?
So
yeah, it wouldn't be it would not be bad to have it that way.
Well, but do you give it away for free, or do you tease the whole thing and make people order WrestleMania to see it?
Well,
knowing it's going to serve as a distraction.
I think that you could have them interact and still have a cloud looming over their head in some manner.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant by interaction. I mean actually physical or verbal, you know.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I think that they can pull it off and still leave enough there to see if there's some doubt about WrestleMania, like if he does become a guest referee or something like that.
Okay.
No, Steve Austin's a guest referee, so that's not going to happen.
No.
They wouldn't have two special guest referees, would they?
No, you can't do that. If it was TNA, they would.
Right, so, I don't know what he can do, like, they could do something weak like an enforcer, but that doesn't seem like main event of WrestleMania. Unless they're going with Triple H versus The Undertaker as the main event, which...
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe we should save that part for a preview show.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, ain't that a bitch?
Well...
Because I was not going in that direction on purpose, but that's where I ended
all right.
up.
Well, let's throw it out there. If it's all right, this is we can do a poll. Eric likes doing those, so we'll leave it up to him. Is there that possibility that this match goes on last? They keep going around and hinting. Not that it's going to be the last match for one of them. I guess this is something we should save.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see. So tune in next week. All right. So, anyways. What else did... Daniel Bryan and Sheamus finally got the... You know, they're getting their WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
I had a nice argument with a guy at the comic store, the owner, today, because he started doing the typical ROH fan thing, where they're like, you know, WWE just gets these guys and buries them. And he's like, and before I could even say anything, he goes, "Look at Daniel Bryan." And I was like, "Yeah, look at Daniel Bryan. He hasn't been there a year, and he's going to be on WrestleMania
in a singles match."
Yes, he's not in a Money in the Bank match. He's not in a Battle Royal. He's not in a tag match with chicks. The guy's in a singles match with Sheamus, who was a champion already, who was was given the ball for a little bit. So don't. You can't say if anybody ruins Ring of Honor guys or doesn't do what's right with their talent, it's TNA. It's the more you watch the business, to use the wrestling term now, the more you see of the business, the more it becomes clear. Yeah, McMahon's thrown some, goose eggs. But he's hit it out of the park more times than not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he hasn't let anything really you know, significant enough go that it's caused them a problem.
Yeah. I
mean,
what they do? Fuck
up. If you want to go back with WCW stuff. But, you know, right now, the guy hasn't dropped anyone that has caused him any grief.
Nope. And I talked to Eric about, you know, Shelton Benjamin, whatever. And I'm sure that's going to be somebody that people will say, well, that's when someone McMahon fucked up. Well, really? Mushmouth never got better on promos. He bulked up way too much to be athletic, to be as athletic as he was. So I don't see where McMahon and WWE went wrong with that one. But sticking with like the TNA ROH comparison, Monty Brown, yeah, they gave him a shitty name. But Marcus Corvan would have actually been a decent name to stick with for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I always thought there was something kind of snazzy about that for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like stuff with Vaughns in it. I always think it sounds... Maybe it's because of Vaughn Hayes. It's the old childhood problem. No, but yeah, Daniel Bryan, what the, CM Punk has his own match?
Yeah, now, and that's a guy that TNA had. And they couldn't do anything with, and he left. You know, they had their shot with him, and they fucked it up. I mean, it's calling a spade a spade. They could have had him there. It was funny because I asked, his name's Rob at the store. I asked Rob, I was like, look, I mean, when was the last time you watched TNA? Because he mentioned, like, if Samoa Joe went to WWE. I was like, have you seen what Samoa Joe is doing now? And he's like, no. He's like, I haven't watched. I was like, you remember D'Angelo Gennaro, the little black dude, the Pope? He's like, yeah, I remember him. And he's like, yeah, he's a small guy. He's like, he ain't that small. But they've got him feuding with Joe, and Joe's got a Japanese sidekick dressed up like fucking Kato. And he just kind of looked at me. I was like, exactly. So don't tell me that WWE would do anything worse than what TNA's doing with these guys already.
Oh, yeah. Not even a chance in hell.
No. But, I mean, look at Evan Bourne. I thought the treatment on Monday was kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, well, bringing him back when they did, like... What was he going to do before WrestleMania?
Right, especially with no Money in the Bank match, yeah.
Yeah, like, he honestly couldn't jump into anything quick enough to get onto the card. So it was almost, you know, when he reappeared, like, it was cool, but it was almost like, why didn't you just save this until after WrestleMania?
That's kind of what I thought, too. If you're not going to have him, well, I mean, they've got the usual battle royal before the pay-per-view starts. So, you know, so everyone gets their payday, gets on the WrestleMania DVD, whatever. So that part I kind of get. I don't know. I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, the reason we were having this discussion was that we were talking about guys who were left off the WrestleMania card. And I was like, look, you've got... the entire core right now, all of Nexus. All right, so there's those guys, all right? Not a big deal. Except Wade Barrett. But Kofi Kingston doesn't have a match at WrestleMania. He's been pushed like crazy. Big Show doesn't have one. Kane doesn't have one.
Yeah, unless that match, which really seems like it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, no, and I understand that. But as it stands now, but again, but it's what you said. Daniel Bryan has a singles match.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, I mean,
so
that's... How can... Yeah, no. You cannot argue with what has happened with him. He had a title. Like, no matter how terrible I think that thing is, they do always seem to give it to people that they're going to do something with. Like, people just don't win it for shits and giggles, usually. Like, even if they don't do anything with the belt itself, it seems to be somewhat of a... You know, you've got to carry this brand or something. Like, I don't know quite how they regard it. But, you know, Ziggler had it, and, well, Del Rio skipped over it. But Sheamus has it now. Like, everyone that Christian had it, Edge had it, didn't he? Like, a lot of people seem to have it on the step up. Whether that step ever happens is a whole nother animal. But, you know, some people step back after that. So, yeah, like, they like him.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fine. Like, they gave him a storyline with, as shitty as they are, the Bella Twins.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the dude was on TV constantly. You know, every week.
And he still is.
And
he gets,
still is.
He even gets, like, some mic time. Now, I think something that needs to happen is they have to give him different music. And,
yeah.
And I know it's like a picky thing. And, I mean, you know who it is as soon as it starts up. But still, I mean, to me it just seems kind of weird still that they do that. So I thought it would be, you know.
It just seems out of place with the whole WWE, honestly. Like, there isn't, like, whether it's a heel or a face or anything, like, his music doesn't fit into, like, any of those categories.
No, not at all, no. I think that's part of the problem, so. No. I don't even know how I got on that tangent, but.
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
Yeah. So, but. I'm trying to think. Trying to think what else stood out on Raw. You had the Michael Cole thing. I thought that was a huge disappointment. I agreed. I think you Twittered it. You were figuring that this was a, or I don't know if it was your review or if it was the, or Twitter, but you expected it to be the cat, Stacy Carter. I think I did too. But they only acknowledged that relationship once, and that was Paul Heyman, like explaining why Jerry Lawler quit. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And so that was never a issue on TV. So that would have been kind of weird. And I don't think she made that much of an impact for people to remember. I also think the same thing with Brian Lawler. There were crickets when his music started up.
Yeah.
That generation of fan, like the one that's going there now, they had no clue who he was.
Yeah, no, like, maybe some of the people our age that have kids that took them there saw him, but that was it.
I'm trying to think if, yeah. And you kind of caught me off guard when you said people our age who have kids. I was like, holy shit, that's right. Wow. Oh, boy. Yeah, but nothing. The Michael Cole thing just kind of seemed there. I thought it was awkward. I like the beatdown at the end because they've got to give Cole some sort of level playing field physically, or Lawler would just tear him apart. Especially with Steve Austin being the special ref, you know, Swagger can't interfere like crazy. So you got to do something to give it, you know, give it an edge. One thing, as much as I like the coal mine, one problem I have with it, though, there's no top on it. At least the son Bishop pointed that out very quickly. Because I was laughing. I was like, that's hilarious. He's like, that doesn't have a top on it, though. And I went, oh, well, yeah, that's pretty stupid then. Cause, and I wonder if it's going to come into play sooner or later. I mean, they only got one more week.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Eve, like, was it Eve tried climbing over it or something? So I thought that was, you know, that was good to at least acknowledge it.
Yeah. Well, and he keeps on popping out of the top of it. So, I mean,
yeah.
It's got it done on somebody.
Well, he pops out of the top of it, and then he gets in and out of it left and right.
So I was like, well, how much, yeah, I mean, there's that, too.
I mean, I don't know. Does the Pope still use the Popemobile? And if so, does he get out and wave to everybody and then get back in? I mean, I guess that's an actual question. I don't know. Does he do that?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the Pope in the Popemobile recently, so.
Yeah.
But I don't think he really gets out of that, considering it's surrounded by, you know, bulletproof glass and all that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't make much sense. So,
Right.
But so I think that was it for Raw. And I think that should be it for the show. We've yammered on enough. It's been an hour, so.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Us yammer? Never.
Yeah. So I'm going to get out of here. We got a full slate of stuff. I don't know if Eric and Dusty are doing theirs today or tomorrow. There's going to be another show this week. Next week's going to be a lot. Kevin and I are back for our yearly WrestleMania preview week. Every day there's two shows covering each one of the matches. Which we need to figure out how many matches there are going to be so we can actually schedule that out.
Yes.
So stick around, look for that. It's cool. They're short shows. They're only, what are we keeping, the 15 minutes? I think that was the rule for each one.
That's, well, if you want to call it a rule, fine. Yeah.
Well, I remember.
That was our goal.
Yes. And in typical fashion, we try to talk about the actual matches. The lead up into them and whatnot. Unless you're a WWE Divas match. I think, was it last year, we totally ignored the match and just talked about something else.
Yeah, as we should have.
Yeah, and then there was some other match we talked about for 2 minutes. So, but so look for that next week. Blogs, Kevin's definitely, or Almost Live, definitely half-assed reviews for SmackDown and Raw. And when he wants to, you know, flog himself, he'll do TNA, but tomorrow could be never mind. I think you mentioned earlier, I'm just going to keep it to myself. one of the things that made me laugh for about an hour straight the other day. trust me, that was a joke I was using around work, too.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So, check out for that. I'm going to get going. Everyone have a good night and a good weekend if you don't hear from us then.
Okie doke, kids. It is time to grab a sippy time beer, so have a good evening.